Hey, folks, I'm hitting the road again, doing stand-up November 7th to the 9th, this coming weekend in Phoenix, Arizona, at Rick Bronson's House of Comedy. Hope you can make it there, Rick Bronson's House of Comedy, Phoenix. November 14th to the 17th, I'm going to be at the Comedy Club at the Hard Rock Hotel in Fort Lauderdale. They built a beautiful new hotel, new room, grand opening weekend. That's November 14th to the 17th. You can go online and get tickets. And November 22nd and 23rd, my old stomping ground, I'm going to be in Washington, D.C., where I went to law school. Psyched to be back at D.C. Comedy Loft. So I hope you can come out and check me out on the road. Great time in Boston. Thanks to everybody this weekend for coming out. Had great turnout, great crowds. And I ran this New York City Marathon. Yep. I ran it in the sense that I drove back into the city when the marathon was happening. I had to park my car a few blocks away from my apartment, and I had to run across the street that was part of the route of the marathon. So I ran the marathon, and I ran it in 17 seconds. And that's the story I'm going with. All right. Enjoy Donald Faison. Really great actor. Great comedic actor. You know him from Scrubs. And a dramatic actor as well, from Remember the Titans and a new ABC series. And it's a really cool conversation with him. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the show. My guest this week, someone whose work, especially his comedy work, I've really enjoyed over the years. And always brings a smile to my face when I see his work. You know him from Scrubs, Remember the Titans, Clueless, but he's currently starring in a really cool new drama series on ABC, Emergence, which is on Tuesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern on ABC. And it's great to have you on. Donald Faison, how's it going, man?
I'm good. How are you, Paul?
I'm good, man. I'm good. So, you know, obviously comedy is, you've done a lot of comedy and you've done drama, but like, was this something... this is sort of like an action thriller, mystery drama thing. This is something that you wanted to kind of step into, this kind of genre?
Absolutely. You know, everybody wants to be in a Marvel movie, or, you know, be Indiana Jones or something like that. And this is, you know, so far, this is the closest opportunity to that that I've ever had. You know what I mean? It's very Spielberg-esque. It's very, you know, like the movies that I grew up on as a kid. Mm. It has a lot of those elements to it, you know, and I like that. That's you know, I've been trying to get into something like this for a really, really long time. It's been a dream.
You know, it's interesting because that was going to be something I wanted to ask you. You say you've been trying to get into something like this. Did you find that, you know, there is a tendency, to pigeonhole people, you know, and they're really great at what they do, and not, and people don't see you outside that box. Like, I'm a comedian, I can also act, and, you know, I've had an opportunity to do that, and people sometimes are surprised. And were you finding that it was getting, you were sort of falling into a little bit of a pigeonhole?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's the crazy thing. You know, once people see that you're funny, they think, you know what, he's funny, and that's what you're, you know, left to be. And I was, you know, I've been acting for a real long time, and I've been in a lot of projects. And I, when I came into the game, I didn't come into the game as a comedian or a comedic, a comedic actor. I came into the game as an actor. And so when I started, I was doing movies where I was getting, you know, killed, or, you know, I was a bad kid or whatever it was. And it just, it was real, you know, it was weird to me that after, you know, a certain amount of time of being funny, that people forgot that I could do drama and stuff like that. And, you know, there are a lot of auditions and things out there that I still don't get called in for because of that. You know, I'm really happy that Michelle and Tara, the creators of this show, the writers and executive producers of this show, were like, you know, let's give them a shot. Just by them saying, you know, let's give them a shot, I'm here, we can have this conversation right now, you know, and hopefully it changes how people view me. Hopefully when they do watch the show, they're like, you know what, I believe Donald Faison can do other things other than just being the funny guy or the goofy guy. I hope I get that opportunity.
Yeah, it's amazing, you know, how accomplished you are as an actor, and you're so good. And, you know, my family's not in this business. In fact, you know, I had a different career. I was like a lawyer, banker, and then I quit to be a comedian, and they don't quite understand. Like one time a cousin of mine goes, why don't you get your own TV show now? I'm like, okay, I'll just call up NBC and tell them I'm ready for my show now. Like they don't get how complicated it is, sometimes unnecessarily so. And my point in this is that someone like yourself, who's so good and so accomplished, that you still need someone to believe in you, even at this level, as you just mentioned, the creators of the show, to give you an opportunity to show what else you can do is crazy to me, but you know, it is what it is, obviously. Yeah, man. And it really should change at a point where you are in your career, frankly. I don't think, you know, a guy like you, but look, I get as a comedian, people think if you're a comedian, like you're dumb, like you smoke weed and watch porn all day and you don't read anything, you don't know it. Like people just get locked into stereotypes, and it's very hard to change their minds. Wait a minute. I do, but I'm saying I do other things as well. I read while I'm doing that. So I'm going to come over later. I got a great stash of both I want to show you, and we'll hang out. We'll talk about the business. There you go. How did you, was there somebody that, I mean, I know, you know, you're like 17, was that your first commercial when you were like 17, something like that? I thought I read. Yeah. And was that sort of like where it broke for you, or was there someone along the line when you were young that really kind of like believed in you at like we're talking about and said, let's give this guy a shot?
My parents were in theater. And so they, you know, at a young age, they put me in a lot of plays and stuff like that, because the theater company that they were in, you know, they had a bunch of kids and they were like, what are we going to do with these kids? And they were like, let's see if they want to act.
Yeah.
And I really liked it. The other kids, not so much. And I was hooked at a very young age. And so, yeah, my parents pushed me. You know what I mean? They pushed me into this, really. They were the ones that were like, you know, this is something you want to do. We have a bit of knowledge in this shit. So if you want to learn, you know, just, they would bring me to the plays that they did. And I would sit in the audience and watch, you know, as a kid watching shows where it probably was just a little too, grown up for me, but I would sit there and learn my lessons. And then when I went home, I would go home and watch, you know, every movie on the planet. And, you know, it was my mom who found the open call in backstage, that where they were like, yo, so, you know, there were a bunch of people that were like, there was a agency and they were like, we're going to have actors or aspiring actors come in and see if they got what it takes. And it was my parents who were the ones that were like, yo, let's go for it. And I went for it and I couldn't believe it. They were like, yo, we like you. Do you want to be, we have an audition coming up. Would you like to go and audition for this commercial? And I was like, yeah, sure. Mm. This is what I've wanted to do my whole life. Mm. And I got the commercial and I thought, oh, we're golden. This is going to be, if it's going to be this easy, I'm golden.
Right.
And it worked for freaking 10 years after that.
You know? Oh,
it
wasn't
until after I graduated high school that I worked again.
Yeah.
It was, you know, but that's the way, that's the business. It's, you know, no matter what, everybody thinks this is the easiest thing to do, and it really isn't the easiest thing to do. To put yourself out there like this and to be vulnerable like this and to be told no all the time, because that's what you hear more than anything. Mm. It's almost like you have a pleasure for pain. It's like the dude or the girl that gets with people just so that they can get, you know, their heart's broken.
Yeah, yeah. It keeps going back for more, yeah.
Keeps going back for more, you know? Yeah,
I know. There's a lot of psychological stuff that goes with this. I know. I was talking to my wife about that, you know, recently. It's just like you got to have a strong constitution. But your parents, it was a National Black Theater in Harlem, right? Did they start that theater and then sort of bring in other actors? And
no, Barbara Antier started the theater. She was an actress from the 70s who had done, who had done a bunch of, a few movies and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And she was the one that started the theater in Harlem. And it was, you know, she was an activist at the time, and she was, you know, she was really trying to get her voice heard in a time when African Americans weren't necessarily, you know, listened to. And that's how she started the theater. And my parents joined the theater because they wanted to get their voices out there, and they wanted, they had something to say. And somewhere in that, they started doing plays and shows, not just for the people of Harlem, but for, you know, places like, in, they traveled to Nigeria, they traveled to Japan, they traveled to all these great places to put on the shows that they either wrote or they adapted. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was privy to all of that. I got to be a part of all of that.
Yeah. Was it strange to, see initially like your folks on stage acting as other people, like as a kid, or were you just completely like wowed by it?
I knew exactly. I knew right then. And I knew what they were doing. You know what I mean?
Wow.
I remember my mom did a play and I was like, yep, that's what I want to do. I was like, go for it, mom.
That's,
you know what I mean? It was never weird for me to, yeah, I was introduced to it. Like, one of my first memories is Star Wars, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, my parents had to explain to me that, you know, this shit is all fake. None of this is real. You're not going to fly in the Millennium Falcon. You're not going to do all of that. The only way that you can do that is if you're an actor like these people in the movie. And I was like, ah, got it. And I was at a very young, this was like at five or some shit like that. Oh, wow. Okay. So if I become an actor, I can fly the Millennium Falcon. Okay. So right then and there, when they started, when they would do plays, I was like, wow, my mom, she must really want to fly the Millennium Falcon.
She'll do anything.
She'll do anything. Like, she would do like dinner theater. You know what I mean? And then as I got older and I started to understand, oh, okay, this is a craft. This is, you know, this is something, you know, if you want to be a part of this, you got to, one, you got to put the work in, and two, you know, two, it ain't easy. This is something that you got to nourish, and you have to feed, and you have to, you know what I mean? For it to grow like a kid, you got to put all of the effort into it. And once I realized that, then it became something completely different. I still want to fly the Millennium Falcon, and I don't mean Disneyland. I mean, you know, I still want to do that, but I am very much into being, doing what I'm doing right now. I wouldn't trade being an actor. I wouldn't trade this in for anything. You know, people are like, well, don't you have dreams of directing, and don't you have dreams of producing? Kind of, sort of. What I really enjoy doing, though, is acting. Yeah. More than anything, I really enjoy feeling the way I feel when I'm performing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know the feeling. Before we jump real quick, when doing so much acting as a comedic actor, if you will, just in terms of those roles, did that sort of put some rust on your dramatic acting chops? Did you have to, you were doing Scrubs for a long time, if you switched gears, did you find that it was a big switch over, or was there not much of an issue with that?
It's very difficult to be present the whole time that you're, when you're acting in dramatic form.
Mm-hmm.
In comedy, it doesn't have to always be grounded for it to be successful. You know what I mean? You can be big, you can be, you know, you can be abstract, you can be obscure, you can be like all of these different things when it comes to comedy. Mm-hmm. And if you find the comedy that suits you, it works, you usually stick to it. With dramatic acting, it's like, look, all those tricks and trades, all those tricks that you came in with,
yeah,
from the gate don't necessarily, they don't transcend into this. You know what I mean? So how are you going to,
yeah,
you know, it's like, it's how to, drama was very, it's very, to me, it's very difficult. And when I say difficult, I mean challenging. Mm. And it's not challenging because I don't think I can do it. It's challenging because there's more concentration involved now. Whereas when I was acting, like, yeah, you're right, it is kind of a rough feeling. Whereas with comedy, you know what I mean? I've been doing it so long that I don't need someone to tell me, oh, you're funny. You know what I mean? It's nice to hear that shit, but yeah. I feel like I'm funny. I laugh at my own shit. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I feel like I have.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, regardless of what somebody else says, somebody might be like, I don't think you're funny. I'm like, yeah, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
I've been doing this long enough to say bullshit. You know what I mean? That's great. You don't think I'm funny, but someone out there does.
And you know the rhythms of the script, of a comedic script. You know where the punches are. You know where you
punch line is, right.
Yeah.
I don't have to search for, I don't have to look at a script and be like, I don't see the joke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I can find a joke in the dramas that I'm doing, in the drama that I'm doing right now. I'm like, oh shit, this is a great joke right here.
Yeah.
And they have to tell me, you know, Donald, this isn't comedy. Could you please refrain from trying to pitch us jokes all the time?
Right.
Like, this ain't that type of show, bud.
Right.
But with drama, it's not like that. I'm having a hard time just being, you know, just staying present and staying grounded.
Mm.
And I love it. I appreciate it. I appreciate the fact that I'm, you know, given this opportunity, mm-hmm. and I don't want to lose it. And so, you know, that's where the fear comes in. That's where, you know, the fear isn't, I can't do it. The fear is, I don't want to lose this. I love this. I love being an actor. Mm. You know what I mean? This is what I want to do. And if I lose this, you know, what do I have after that? And so that's the fear, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's what stops you from taking or from going after roles where you're like, where it can be even more challenging than doing a show like Emergence. Because you're like, holy shit, if I fail, then nobody's going to want to, you know what I mean? Nobody will fuck with me anymore.
If you start to play it safe, then you're dead. Like, you're dead creatively. You're dead as a person. I listen, everything you say, I know, as on the comedy side, it's the exact same thing. You know, it's constantly proving yourself. It's, you know, you worry you're going to have a bet. My wife is like, you know, I was on the road. I was in Florida and I called her and I go, I don't know why I'm really kind of nervous. It was just a regular, you know, headlining show. And she goes, You kill all the time. You've been doing this. Why do you worry? I go, I don't know. That's why I'm working on my head. You know, it's, I know the feeling, you know, you hold on too tight. I call it holding on too tight. You know, you're white knuckling life. And then that ain't the way to go. You know, it just ends up, you got to swing for the fences. Like when you walked in, when you were 14, that first audition, you thought, yeah, I'll get this. And then you get it. And then I did the same thing. Like you get the first couple of things. You're like, man, this is a piece of cake. I'm going to be huge in about a week. And then it's like, wait, what? Yeah.
What do you mean? I'm not, what do you mean? You gave it to Leonardo DiCaprio? You know what I mean?
Like, are you crazy?
I've done things like that. I've made that mistake of thinking this is a cakewalk and it's not going to be challenging and this is going to be easy money. And you go in there and then you get knocked on your ass.
Yeah.
And you appreciate getting knocked on your ass, but it's also like, man, you know, I got to rethink my strategy. My strategy is a little off here because I'm going about this the wrong way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you've been incredibly successful. You're great at what you do as an actor. And the fact that you're aware of all that is probably a big reason why you're so good at what you do. You know, it's the people that are sort of living with their head in the sand, like, oh no, and they don't self-assess and they don't adjust midstream, end up being stuck in the same place. So I think everything that we're talking about, while it's a hassle beating yourself up, I guess there's some good to it too, maybe.
Yeah, but that's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You can't settle. You can't settle.
No.
You know? Yeah.
No. Because when you settle, you rot when you settle. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
You know what I mean? When you think about it, if you let food settle outside of the fridge and you don't put the energy that the cooler, we'll call it the fridge, the cooler, whatever right. that is that keeps the food fresh and edible, if you take it out, you know what I mean? And that energy that's used to do that, if you take that energy away and just let that food settle outside, it's a wrap, dude. It's a wrap.
Yeah.
That food is not edible and you know what I mean? I don't know, man.
No.
I'm very appreciative for what I have going right now. And, you know, if I can find a way to make it better, I'm going to do that shit.
Yeah. No, listen, I hear you. You can't settle. You can't let the food rot. People get rejected all the time. And it's part of, you know, we signed up for it. So, you know, it is what it is. But I think, you know, you develop the tools to be able to deal with that kind of stuff, you know. And obviously you have. I mean, you've gotten some great roles and, you know.
I've gotten rejected by quite a few people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? It's their mistake. You know, I mean, that's how you got to look at it, you know, because you're bringing something special to the table. And, you know, the other thing, too, is, and you know, and I know, it's like a friend of mine, he's a pretty big name comedian now. He wrote a script, a pilot script, and he said it was a piece of junk. But then all of a sudden he was kind of very hot at the time. And so some agency got hot on it, but it was a piece of crap. And then this agency got a production company or a network, a big one, to get interested in it. And then suddenly they were bidding, other networks were bidding for it only because some other network was interested in it, like not because of the quality of the product or the work. And you know that too, right? Like there's somebody that's hot because they're hot. And then everybody goes, oh, well, he's hot. Well, then I should like him because everybody else likes him or her or the work, as opposed to really liking the work of the person. You know, it's like high school, you know, they say it, but it's kind of true. So it's dealing with all that stuff. You know, that's what makes it complicated. There's no rhyme or reason. And a lot of times there's sycophants and people are sort of sheep following other people who are saying, oh, well, so-and-so's the guy. Well, then he must be the guy if everybody's saying him, he's the guy. And meanwhile, Donald's right over here doing killer work and we're going to bypass him. You know, it doesn't, that's the part that frustrates me, you know?
Yeah, I'm all right with that, though. If I don't get a role, it's just meant that it wasn't for me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it was for that person who got it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, if somebody's hot, they're hot. You can't do anything about that. You know what I mean? That's just how it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you're waiting in the wings, you got to, you know, and they're still doing their thing on stage. You got to give them their opportunity. But when it's your chance to go on, just be ready. You know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely.
You know, perseverance is key in this game. You know what I mean? If like you said, if you have the constitution to continue up in this, to continue doing this,
mm-hmm.
it will pay off eventually. It might not pay off in the grand scheme, like in your grand, it might not pay off like you've imagined, but it'll pay off in some way. In some way, you're going to get your opportunity. You know what I mean? And if you're ready when your opportunity comes, you might be the hot one. Like, you know what I mean? When it happens. And it's continuous too. So, you know, we look at it like, you know, this is the only opportunity I may ever get. That's bullshit. It could come around again and again and again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you have an agent, your agents are sending you out on so many things, right?
Mm.
So if I have an agent and my agent is doing their job, I'm going to have another opportunity, you know?
Right.
And the opportunity might not be me getting the role, but the opportunity is definitely trying to convince these people, yo, I'm the one for you. And if I fail at that, then I fail at that. And it was somebody else that they wanted. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That moment with those people doesn't translate into that role, but then opens the door for something else. They remember you later, or they're like, you know, you never know. That's the thing that I had to become aware of, is like, because I came from a very linear way of thinking when I was a lawyer and a banker. It's like you do A, you do B, you do C, and then D happens. In this business, it's like, you know, there is, you know, you're meeting people and they see you and they think of you. And then all of a sudden a door opens 2 months later that you never knew was there. You know, it's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a trip.
You'd be surprised how many times it comes back around.
Yeah, exactly. It always never surprises me. And I have to be reminded of that a lot. I could talk to you forever, man. Please come back on whenever you want. We could fix all the world's problems together, I believe.
You and I together, we could make this happen.
Exactly. I'm happy for your role, man. It's Emergence Tuesdays, 10 p.m. ABC. Donald Faison, keep doing the great work, and we'll see you when you get your Oscar for your dramatic work, all right?
Yeah, well, that'd be great. That'd be awesome. We'll see.
Yeah. All right, man. Great to have you on.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate you.
All right, there you go, Donald Faison. I really liked how he was very honest about dealing with rejection and how hard that was. You know, he's a really accomplished star and actor, so I thought that was pretty interesting. And hope to see you on the road this weekend. November 7th to the 9th, I will be at Rick Bronson's House of Comedy in Phoenix. November 14th to the 17th, I'll be at the Comedy Club at the Hard Rock Hotel in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And November 22nd and 23rd at the DC Comedy Loft. All right, see you on the road, everybody.